The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Good evening and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, man. How you doing, Evan?
Oh, I'm positively steeped in the news of the day. I'm well, man. I'm well.
What part of the news of the day are you steeped in, or all of it?
Just all of it. I mean, and it's some pretty good stuff, too.
Let me ask you this. What about this one? White House says restarting student loans is high priority.
Hate it.
Sparking outrage.
Hate that one. No, and the verbiage, you know, I'm sure that we've got plenty of topics today, but just to brush on this, just sort of how that was trotted out was interesting to me, even if I don't like it. They came out of that gate. They made it extremely clear that this is a priority for them.
A top priority.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about this in a while, man. I was reading some of these numbers, and are you aware, man? It says here that 89% of those who owe student loans, where is it at? I just had this, man. According to recent data, the vast majority of student debt holders are not ready to restart payments. In a student debt crisis center survey of over 33,000 borrowers, 89% of the borrowers who are employed full-time said that they aren't financially ready to restart student loan payments in February.
Not the least bit surprising to me. You know, I mean, we're talking a hefty car payment. It's a lot of money.
Let me ask you, man, people on the other side of this are saying, why should student loan debt holders get a pass when mortgage holders and those kinds of things don't get a pass? They got to pay their debt. So why should there be this special allotment for student loan debts? I'm just what I've been hearing. What's your response?
And I don't think it's a terrible argument. I just think you got to take into account there's sort of a difference here. You know, with you have a mortgage, that means that you have assets. You know, you have assets you can borrow against that you can leverage to do other things in your life. And they make the same argument for student loans, but it's not quite the same. You're leveraging an ethereal, there's an ethereal mist in the air that you're educated, so you leverage that to get more money. And I get it to a point, but the system is broken. I mean, it's an enormous amount of money, and it comes at the back end of your earning potential, you know?
So let me ask you this. For people, you've gone through this.
Yeah.
There are young people every year, 17 years old right now, 18 years old, preparing to go down the same road that you and many others have gone down. And what would you say to a young person if they asked Evan, if they said, Evan, I want an education, mm-hmm. But my parents don't have an endowment. There's not a lot of money for me. What would you say to that person to go ahead and take out these loans? Would you give them that advice?
5 years ago, I would have said yes. And now I would say, make damn sure that you're ready to follow through with this. You know, Especially when you say
follow through. When you say follow through with this, do you mean the education or the fact that after you've secured the education, that you have some idea of what this is going to cost you?
First one and then the other. Yes, if you're going to take out these loans, work extra hard to finish what you set out to do, to get that degree. It gets really, really hard to leverage the things that you've learned, you know, the certificates that you paid for, to get the money to pay that back. You know, if you're not finishing school, that's tough. That's really tough. You know, that you still have, that debt is still going to follow you.
But even if you finish school, the debt is going to follow you.
And there's no guarantees there, you know?
So is the real issue, Evan, and the listening audience, is the real question why the education has just skyrocketed, the cost of the education? I got a friend named Roger Quindell, who graduated from the University of Wisconsin. Granted, it was late, or about 70, 1970, somewhere around there, 72. And it didn't cost him but a couple grand, two or three grand. Can you figure out why the cost is so much now, man?
No, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, we're talking 10% a year that these tuition room and board
continue to rise.
Yeah. And that's multiplicative. You know, we're talking 10% per year since the 60s, since the 70s. That it's like compound interest. I mean, it hits the ceiling before too long.
So again, there are so many people coming behind right now that are being told that they should go and get this education. And they're going to universities. There are more and more universities. The cost of those universities and that education continues to skyrocket. And there are more and more people enslaved to that debt. So can it be fixed? Is it something? Because look at it from this perspective. There are people who are tradespeople, plumbers, electricians, steam fitters, tool and die makers, all of those different trades who get their trade basically for free.
Yeah. Or worst case scenario, a couple $1,000s. It's
right.
Sort of taking the place of that
and when they graduate, they begin to make tremendous sums of money from the onset.
It's much. Yeah. That pipeline is still intact.
Do you sometimes think, and I tell young guys this all the time, young boys and girls, well, where you go? I'm going to college. I said, are you aware of what the cost is to go to college? Right now in America, we've got too many people with college degrees. I'm just telling you straight.
No, absolutely. And then more on top of that, there are more nebulous degrees that don't mean anything.
And there are more and more coming out, you know, every minute. And so when they go into the work field, the career path, and they say, well, I got a degree, and the human resource guy says, okay.
Here's $9 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, $12 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, well, we've got a position for you if you want to manage a McDonald's.
Yeah.
You'll make $24,000 a year. I mean, this is the reality of what we're talking about. And it is because, and I'll tell you why. Back in my day, and I keep going back in my day.
No, we need the reference, yeah.
But when corporations were here, you could get out of college and go right into middle management in these corporations. They needed you. They would hire you. And you could climb that corporate ladder and make a lot of money. And it wasn't just a blue-collar person. It was management. that you know, people could go into right out of college. Or while we worked, we were given free tuition reimbursement.
Sure, yeah.
So that's what used to happen. People got tuition reimbursement. And now you look at where things are today, and it's hard to tell a young person to go ahead and go to college.
And I've had that conversation with people before in recent history, the last couple of years, you know, sitting down with a young person. And, yeah, just get them to think about this a little bit. If they're really, really gung-ho to get that four-year degree right out of high school, just think about it. That's all I'm saying.
I couldn't begin to even imagine when you finally graduate from the 4-year or 6-year degree and you come out and you owe $200,000 from the onset. $200,000 that you have to now begin to start making payments on, and they want it right away, right? I mean, they don't say, well, we'll hold off until you get on your feet.
Yeah, yeah. You're able to put it into forbearance once, I think it's once a year. There are ways to delay that responsibility.
Yeah, but the longer you delay it, the more interest.
That's right. That's right.
Piles of, what is the interest rate on those student loans anyway?
They're like good credit cards, you know, but 8, 12%, 14%.
Yeah, but 8, 12%, 14%
hell of a lot of money. Yes,
on a credit card. If I owe $4,000, that's a lot of interest.
And you caught my tongue in cheek there. That a good credit card rate. You know, I mean, it still fleeces you in the end.
Yeah, because if you now have that same reality, and you owe $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, $200,000. Man, I don't know how you dig yourself out of that. Not to mention, and what they're saying is, now you marry someone who's got almost as much student loan debt as you have.
And the craziest part that I feel like we don't talk about is around that 2008-2009 spot, all of your student loan debt got bundled up, chopped into bits, and sold as these really crazy hedges. You know, your debt has been sold 50 times over. You have no idea who you're paying anymore.
Yeah, you know, man, and because of that, the more times that debt has been sold, the least likely it is that they're going to want to do anything to help you erase that debt.
Yeah.
You know, the more they've sold that debt, those people are locked in to getting that profit.
And that's who I think we're talking about when we talk about forgiveness. We're talking about the people who bought into this system on a promise of success and were given a system that was built to make money off of them, hand over fist.
So our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What do you say? You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.